You know, the presence of the Lord is just so sweet. And sometimes we just take it for granted that we're to come into his gates with thanksgiving. That's how we are to lead off. That's how we, you know, how many times you've been in a conversation and finally 15 minutes into the conversation, they get to the point and you're thinking, you should have led with that. Well, we should lead with our thankfulness. Our thankfulness in all things. You know, the Lord wants to encourage us today. The Lord doesn't want our times of gathering just to be a religious thing that we do. We can check off our list. When I was young, we had a pretty, grew up in a pretty traditional Baptist church, and the bulletin would tell you everything that's going to happen. And I remember, since I'm a list guy, I'd check it off as it went off. Well, we opened in prayer, yes. We sang the doxology, yes. We were greeted, yes. And then you get hung up a little longer in the message. But the Lord doesn't want us checking things off. He deserves us wanting to be with him. He deserves us desiring to be in his presence. He deserves us to come into his presence with thanksgiving. And not just to check off things. The Lord's here today, and I sense his presence really, really strong. And I always sense his presence, but there's something different today, and I really can't put my hands around it. In fact, even my drive-in this morning... And my typical habit is, and I'm a man, a creature of habit, as I usually get here before the sun comes up. And it's just, I've driven that route for so many years, but today it seemed new. The exit that I would get off just didn't seem quite as familiar. It felt new. And all I can do is ask the Lord, why was that that way? Why did it seem that way? And I begin to feel his. Sometimes feel is a word that is hard to describe, but sense his words that he's doing a new thing. The old things have passed, and the new things have come. Now, if you're on Facebook and you're a friend of mine, you know I had a birthday yesterday. I turned the big 6'6". Susan told me this. She says, I'm glad it's not a third 6. I said, me too. But you know, there is a newness in a new year. And she asked me right before we went to bed last night, she said, do you feel any different today? And I said, I really don't. But something was different. Could it be that the Lord wants us just so aware of the times that we're in, that things that should feel normal somehow feel different? Could it be that the Lord wants you to be aware, looking through things with fresh eyes? You know, as I was driving in, again, the same route that I've taken for years and years and years, and about the same time of day for years and years and years, I had to concentrate just a little bit more and pay attention because it seemed different. But what it did cause me to do is take stock of the things that I was passing. The route. Yeah, it felt different, but I noticed things a little bit more. So could it be that that when God gives us this new thing, that it might even feel out of pocket for a moment? But you engage your trust in Him, first of all, because He's never failed you. But you can rest in the fact that even if it feels different, He's there. Even if the route feels different, you can be safe and secure because He's there. Does that make sense to anybody? Yes. It's just a very interesting dynamic to be in a familiar place, but to see it as new. And I would say that God wants us to look at His creations new, as new. Don't get so caught up in the things that you normally do that you ignore the opportunities that He has in front of you. Don't get so caught up in the way we used to do things that you don't make room for the new. This year we had a little bit smaller gathering for Thanksgiving, a few different people that normally weren't there, a few people that normally were there weren't. It just felt different. It's a good time, but just felt different. But yet, the sense of family was there. The familiarity of family. And God wants you to know that even though He may be taking you in a new journey, that there's something familiar that's going to be there, and it's His Spirit and His presence. He doesn't want you all out there by yourself feeling all alone, because He's there walking with us. And some of you will probably take strides this year, this coming year, that you've not made before, but don't let that be scary to you. Don't be fearful, because He's there. He's right there. The Bible says He's our rear guard. He's all around us. In fact, when you talk about something that's omnipresent, there is nowhere they're not. I know that's not good English, but I didn't do well in English. Probably no surprise to you. But omnipresence means there's nowhere He isn't.
That's right.
He's here. Yeah. And He knows what you're going through. And He knows exactly what you need to be built up. Many times in life we hit situations that are just hard. How do we do it? Well, we can trust Him because He's there. I've never known Him not to come where he's invited. So it's important that we say, Jesus, would You come? Would You come and fill in this space around me that feels unfamiliar? Come and fill this place. And Lord, I trust You. And these are the prayers that this conversation we're to have with God. You think about, how do you pray without ceasing? Well, I've met people that can talk without ceasing. God just wants you to talk to Him. You don't have to have the right shoes on or the right clothes on or in the right setting. No, He just wants you to talk with Him. And if you're in a position or a place that is unfamiliar and you're maybe even feeling a little insecure, talk to God. Just ask Him. Lord, would You just give me a hint You're here? By faith, I believe that. But Lord, we are feeling people. We are sensory people. And we need that so many times. But God is good about that. Because He knows what you need before you need it. He does. The Bible does tell us to bring our petitions to Him. But bringing our petitions to God is really something that builds our faith as we count them out to God, as we bring them to Him. God already knows it. But He wants you to declare you need Him. He wants you to declare it. God, I need you here. I need you here. I need you here. I need you over here. And God, this feels unfamiliar. Would you just fill up the space so that I know that I'm walking with you? I don't know how many today are faced with decisions that you've got to make in the near future. I sense that there are people that are they've got these decisions that have to be made. And there's an awful lot of stress swirling around that. Well, the Bible tells us to ask Him for wisdom. He'll give it. But then you need to engage your faith and you need to believe that He's done it. So those of you that are needing wisdom, just ask Him for it. Need to make this decision. I need God to help me. Jesus, would you come and help me? Would you do that, Jesus? Would you come? And Jesus will come. It may not look like you think He does. It may not. You may not sense it like you think it should be. But an omnipresent God can be anywhere. And He's God, and He can show up any way He wants. And He can fill in the gap in what you're feeling. Some of you are feeling there's just something missing. God can fill in that gap. He can fill in that place that's a deficit for you. And He knows what you're facing, and He understands what you're facing. Sometimes we just say, well, you know what I'm facing. Well, He understands it. He understands the dilemma that we find ourselves in many times. And it doesn't look like there's any way out. But Jesus tells us that He will make a way where there is no way. He will cause streams to come in the desert. He will make the path well known. Jesus wants you to thank Him. He wants you to lead with that. He wants you to be confident in your walk with Him. And we enter His courts with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. We come in a posture of worship to our God. And if you're feeling that things are just a little bit off, ask the Lord to reveal those things to you. Reveal what He wants you to see, where He wants you to go, what He wants you to do. And He will do that. He is not going to leave you out in left field. He is not going to. He is going to guide you, lead you, and guide you wherever you want, where He wants you to go. We grew up around horses, and some knew how to neck rein, some didn't. A neck rein is when you lay the rein on his neck, on this side of him, to make him go that way. Now, it takes a little bit of training for that to happen. But there's some horses that we had, you actually had to pull this one and pull this one to get them to come. They were a little unlearned. I wonder how many times God has to pull us this way and pull us this way when He wants us to lay His hand on that side of you to nudge you this way. And it's all in understanding and sensing His leading and sensing His voice. You say, well, how do you hear His voice? You read what He said. This is the voice of God. This is the living Word of God. And the Bible says He walks with us. I love the picture of Him in the garden with Adam and Eve before they blew it. It was obvious that they were just walking together in the garden. And it just had to be the most beautiful place. And I don't know what the Garden of Eden looks like to you, but to me it was just no cares, no problems. God's right there. He's with us. And He gives us a few of these rules. And we just need to abide by them. The enemy's there to whisper just a little bit, hey, He just doesn't want you to get everything He's got so you can you can try this over here. Well, we all know that story. I read the other day that Eve was the first one that didn't heed to the instructions from Apple. Or didn't, I told it wrong, but anyway. Oh well, anyway. But the enemy is always there, trying to lure us off the path. When God wants us to listen to his voice and to walk in his ways. And God wants you to trust him to use you. You know, we think about, well, God's going to use that person and that person, and he's probably not going to use me. His word's full of the words of affirmation that will build you up for you to know that he's going to use you. As long as I can remember, I wanted to be in business. I wanted to work in business. My college was in business and that kind of stuff, that training. But from a young teen on, I really just had this sense that that God was going to use me in the area of business. And finally, I had a lot of different jobs throughout high school. But when I was 20 years old, I started working for Davidson Department Store. That's a division of Macy's. It was a southern division of Macy's. And I rose up in the ranks there pretty quickly to become the youngest junior executive. I was a department manager in the company. Next step would be a promotion to Atlanta, to the main headquarters. But I took a job with a retailer here in town and just felt that was the path for me to take. And after a few years, I began seeing some success in that. Having a work drive, but still being very, very unsure of myself on, could I be successful in this? Could I do this? And the owner of that business said something to me one day. He said, you know, we got two stores. And I was involved in both of them. One was in Asheville and one was here in Columbia. He said, if I'd have had you 10 years ago, I'd have had 20 stores. And that was huge to me because I just wasn't sure I had it in me to do anything real well. I could work hard, but he saw something in me. And I have recalled that thousands of times as I went through problems in the workforce that, well, I remember that. That built something in me. Most of us don't pay attention to what God has said about us. And we don't trust that he'll use us. Every time I thought about that owner saying, if I'd had you 10 years ago, I'd have 20 stores. It built something in me. Something of, yeah, I can do something. But how many times do we just disregard what God says? And we just go about life thinking that he's not going to use us. I want to give you 13 things. That sounds like an odd number. I know it, but it's 13 of them. That I want you to repeat to yourselves. There are verses that go with them. But what I want that to do is to stay in you more than what that boss, that business owner said to me. And realize that what God is saying to us is eternal. His words are eternal, number one. See, what I believe it'll do is set the stage for success, security, and productivity in the things of God. Number one, we're our Father's child. Just think about that. Our Father's child. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make human beings in our own image to be like us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are our Father's child. When you start feeling the enemy whispering that God's not going to use you. God's not going to. No, remind him who your daddy is. Number two, we're created on purpose with a purpose. Proverbs 16, the first part of 4a, of verse 4. The Lord has made everything for its purpose. Everything. Everything for its purpose. We're created on purpose. When the enemy tells you you're not going to do something, no, remember that. You are created on purpose, with a purpose. Number three, we're blessed. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. This thing about life is not about gaining all the stuff for yourself. No, it's not. It's to have, to give. Number four, we're able. Ephesians 6, 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. You are able. Don't let the enemy tell you anything different. Number five is we're equipped. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture was inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what's right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The enemy says, you're not good. I'll remind him, you're equipped. Number six, we're built to succeed. Proverbs 16:3, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. We are built to succeed. Don't let the enemy tell you you're not going to do stuff for him, for God. Don't let the enemy discredit you. No. Remind yourself what God says. I am built to succeed. Number seven, we're being changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us have had that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. What you are today shouldn't be what you are going to be tomorrow in the things of God, because you are changing. The enemy wants you to believe that you can't adapt, that what you are today is what you always will be. That's not true. That's not what the affirmations that God has told us. Number eight, we're chosen to be used by God. Chosen. It's not, you're not the redheaded stepchild that came into the kingdom. Now, that's a slam on redheads, and I've got some in my family, so I don't mean it that way. But you're not less than in the kingdom of God. You're chosen to be used by God. 1 Peter 2:9, for you are a chosen people, royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possessions. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are chosen to be used by God. Don't let the enemy tell you you're not going to do anything for God. No, you're chosen. Number nine, we won't be the last. We won't come in last place. Deuteronomy 28, 13. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, it's not just enough to listen, you got to obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never on the bottom. Maybe you're in a job right now, you just feel like you're on the bottom. Well, that's not what God says about you. Listen, if you place value on your supervisor's words and allow them to build in your life, think about what the omnipresent God of the universe, he's speaking into your life. Number 10, we're able to do the impossible. Many of us have jobs in front of us that look too big for us, but we know God's put us there. And it just looks impossible, yes. Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them intently and said, yes, humanly speaking, It is impossible. So what we're seeing as an impossibility is that in the natural. But we're not natural people. We are spirit people in a natural tent. That verse ends with, but with God, everything is possible. We're able to do the impossible. I left a job one time and wasn't great circumstances. The boss was really doing some really horrible things, and I just had enough. And when I left, he didn't like it because I was a hard worker. And he says, you're going to never make anything of your life if you leave my job, my company. Well, we're able to do the impossible. Number 11, we're a work in progress. We are not where we're going to be, but we're not where we were. Philippians 1:6, I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day that Christ Jesus returns. As long as we're waiting on Jesus to come, he has got us in a process of becoming more and more like him. Now, you can resist it, and you even can get off that track, but it's not going to lead to good places. I want to stay right where God wants me, no matter what he's doing, no matter how difficult it may feel, no matter how much opposition I feel. I'm going to stay there because he's building something in me. I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. Number 12, we've been anointed to do the will of God. It's not like you just slid into the family of God. You've been anointed to do the work of God, the will of God. 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. You do not need anyone to teach you, but as the anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real and not counterfeit, just as it is, it has taught you, remain in him. The anointing comes from hearing and applying the word of God into your life. Number 13 got moved. Isn't that interesting? It's not even in here. Oh, there it is. It got moved. Thought it didn't. Number 13, we are one with Christ. One with Christ. Galatians 3:27 and 28. For all those who've been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You may have an employer or a boss that tells you you're not going to make much of your life. But you can remind him or remind yourself what God has said. You're my child. God has said you're created on purpose. God says you're blessed. God says you are able. God says you are equipped. God says you're able to, you're built to succeed. God says you are being changed and you are chosen. God says you will not be last and you can do the impossible and you are a work in progress and you've been anointed by God and you are one with Christ. Let those words swirl around in you. Meditate on those words and apply that to your life. You apply these things to your life and you will catapult yourself. God will catapult you into victory. Those that maybe find yourself in a little bit of a slump, that will lift you out of that slump. Don't you think that these things will change the trajectory of your thinking? Don't you think that these words of affirmation are more powerful than my boss telling me that he could have had 20 stores instead of 2 if he'd hired me earlier? Listen, God wants to use each of us every single day for his glory. Why would God want to do that? Because he wants none to perish. Because when he gets glory out of your life, other people are affected. Other people are shown the way. Other people are given a pattern to live their life. And listen, you may not get to talk to everybody that you want to, but so many people watch how you live your life, and that is maybe the only Bible they'll ever see. Think about that. God wants to use us every single day for His glory. You need to trust Him that He'll use you. His Word says He'll use you. His Word is full. And what I've just pulled out is just a few things. The Scripture is full of affirmations of who we are in Christ and what He wants to do in people. And He wants to do that so that none would perish. Yes, so that you wouldn't perish. But it doesn't just stop with you. The moment we receive the gospel and think that it's all happening just for us, only for us, and it's to give me this great life, we've missed the point of the gospel. What God pours into you as His child, He wants us to pour into others because they're His children. And everything we said today that were affirmations for us, guess what? They're affirmations for every single one of His creations. No matter if you like them or not. No matter if they're your friend or not, no matter if they think the way you do or not, these affirmations, the Word of God is for them too. And He's patient because He doesn't want any to perish. And I don't understand everything about what Jesus is going to do when He comes back. The biggie to me is I'm His. I'm going to go where He is. I accept that. He has forgiven me, and He's given me a future. If you were to poll all my high school teachers, they would probably all say, I'm sure glad he's out of high school. Because I wasn't the most studious student. Now, I did make the classroom fun, but they weren't there for fun. But if they would have pronounced my future, it wouldn't have been good. And maybe that's you. Maybe the enemy lets you remember all of that and you think that you're not any good for the kingdom of God. No, what we've talked about today is just a portion of what He has for you, what He has for me, what He wants us to recall. He wants you to recall His promises and let it be as vivid as when that boss told me that if I'd have had you 10 years ago, I'd have had 20 stores. That made a mark on me in the natural. These that we've talked about today will make a mark on you in the spirit realm. And you will have far less bad days. Not because things won't ever go wrong. No, you're holding on to what the Father has said. He says, I'm gonna be all right. He says, I can do this. He said that His hand's upon me. He said that He loves me even when I'm wrong, when I'm hard to love, He loves me. And when you remind yourself what God has said about you and what God has for your future, it doesn't matter what people around you ever do, that we get to the place that we are more concerned about what He thinks and what He says than anybody else. And when you get there, you don't get offended as much. You don't get hurt as much. You don't get an attitude as much. All those things that the enemy wants you to have so that you can be discouraged and think that God is not going to use you. God wants to use you. He wants to use you for His glory. He wants to use you to do impossible things. He doesn't want you to get credit for it. And we got to be careful about that. He wants to make sure He gets credit. Our human nature is to take credit and to think we're all that. But without God, listen, I'd fall flat on my face. Without God, I wouldn't be able to have a connected thought. Without God, I couldn't do anything right. All I could do is serve myself. But this is not about serving yourself. this thing that God, this path that God has us on is full of people that He loves. And maybe today, as you walk through your familiar paths, you're starting to see things just a little bit different, paying a little bit more attention to what's on your right and left and forward, seeing people just a little bit different. Maybe that's the new thing that He has for you. Maybe He wants you to open your eyes to what He wants you to do in a better, in a bigger way. When we're a baby Christian, if we get through the day without cussing, we think we've done all right. And that's a good one. That's a good. You shouldn't be doing that anyway. But as you mature, He's going to expect you to stay not in the non-cussing category, whatever the easy sin for you would be. But He's going to place you in advanced studies because He wants you to do more for Him. And the enemy would be right there. You can't do this for God. You're not able to do it. The moment you set out to do something for God, the enemy will remind you all those places that you really messed up. He's not usually making them up either. We've messed up. But he's not reminding you of the blood of Jesus. He's not reminding you of the forgiveness of Jesus. He's not reminding you what God does with sin. When we repent our sins, the Bible says He removes them from us as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. But yet the enemy wants you to remember all those things that you've done wrong. Here's what you need to tell Him. That's already under blood. I've already dealt with that with the boss. I've already gone to the Father with that. Now, if I do it again today, you can accuse me and I'll get right with God again. But that's under the blood. The enemy can't, if he can't trip you up with the big things, he's going to trip you up with the little stuff. If he can cause you to be in neutral rather than in forward motion for God, he's accomplished a lot. Because the Bible tells us that we're a force to be reckoned with by the power of God. God wants to use you, and He wants you to trust Him to use you. He wants you to give Him opportunities to use you. The biggest prayer I've ever prayed and the most impact I ever had on my life is, okay, God, whatever You want to do in me, I'm okay. I'll take it. I didn't know what I was praying, but I prayed it in a minute. When God gets our will, it opens up everything new. And you may be going the same route that you always go, but something looks different. Pay a little bit more attention. God, are You going to use me here? Is there something here? Is there something here? Is there somebody over here that You want to use me? If so, Lord, I ask You to fill my mouth with Your word and only Your word. And as Jesus was sending the disciples out, they were a little bit worried. What do we say? We don't, you know, we're supposed to do Your will, but we can't talk like You. We don't have everything that You have. He said, if you just open your mouth, the Holy Spirit will give you what you say. And I can attest to that fact, that if you're obedient to God, He will give you the words to say. He'll give you the thoughts. He may not give you a lot in advance, but that's faith, that we trust Him, that we believe that He's going to use us, and He's going to use us where He has us. We all want to be moved and promoted over here so God can use us, but He wants to use you right where you are. He wants you to remain faithful right where you are. And then all of a sudden, promotion doesn't seem to me as exciting because you are in the perfect will of God. The peace of God is there. You sense His power is there. You're moving in step with God. And all of a sudden, those things that you were looking forward, hey, if this would only happen, I could be somebody. If I could only do this, those things just pale. Because God wants us to occupy. He tells us to occupy. You can concentrate on Jesus coming back and not be of any earthly good, but God has got us here. Today, maybe using the same route we always use, but He wants to illuminate something a little bit different. He wants you to pay attention to what you're going through, to tomorrow things get back to normal. A lot of people have had a few days off and things get back to normal, and you may find yourself just getting into that rote habit that you have. Well, pay attention. Pay attention. Even though the route is the same, could it be that God is starting something new? And he wants you to pay attention. If he can't get our attention, we're probably not going to be doing what he asks us to do. God needs our attention. How do you get that? Well, you just ask him, God, I want to go where you want me to go. I want you to close the door that's not of you. I want you to open the door that is of you. And I'm going to step out in faith, knowing that you are stepping out with me, and I'm going to do your will, no matter what. Yes, I've got my own stuff that I'm worried about, but I'm going to move it over here because I'm thankful for what you're doing in my life. And therefore, I don't concentrate on the stuff that's not right in my life. I concentrate on being the obedient servant I am to Jesus. That's what he wants to hear. He wants you to be willing to do whatever he asks you to do. Do you think it was easy for Noah to build that ark? They'd not even had rain. What's a flood? A boat? What is that for? Oh, this is a good one. You know what kind of lights are on the ark? Floodlights. But God wants you to do the impossible. You know, when I was starting to tell that joke, Susan went, oh. I heard it all the way over here. Oh. But God wants to use you right where you are. And the enemy wants to remind you why you are not able to be used. But I want you to remember what God has said. The affirmations from God that we are set up to be an awesome force, to preach the word, to live the word of Jesus everywhere we go. Not worrying about where it lands, just delivering the living word of God. And it's going to take root, and it's going to touch people, and there are going to be people in heaven because you were obedient. Isn't that awesome to think about? There are going to be people in heaven because they worked with you. They came in contact with you. They watched how you live. You can watch anybody long enough and get discouraged in how they live. We're human. We blow it. Let's let the majority of our life be a testimony to Jesus of what he's done in our life and how we are to serve him the remainder of our life. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father.